إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our third session reading from Sifat Ibad al-Rahman, the characteristics and qualities of the worshippers of Allah the Most Merciful, by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about the second sifa, second characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman. In this sequence of ayat in which Allah has described yani eight characteristics of the worshippers, yani the Ibad of al-Rahman. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about the second sifa. But before that, we just want to complete a little bit that was left over from last week that we didn't have a chance to finish. The last point that the Shaykh made, the hadith that the Shaykh mentions at the end of the first sifa. We want to complete that before we go on to the second sifa. And before we even do that, we're going to review quickly what we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 2. The first question, yeah, Zaki, can you help me, somebody? Turn on this light for me. I just realized I'm having difficulty seeing, and it's because of the light. Alhamdulillah. So the first question from last week's session was mention one of the author's introduction. I'll mention one statement from the author's introduction which points to the exalted status of Maqam al-Ubudiyyah, yani the station of Ubudiyyah. Anybody remember something that the Shaykh said in the introduction concerning the exalted status of the Maqam, the station of Ubudiyyah? Well, the Shaykh, he began, yani after the opening statement of Salat and Salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that indeed the Maqam of Ubudiyyah, and this is what he began with in the beginning of his introduction, the Maqam of Ubudiyyah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Maqamun Azeem. It is a tremendous, yani magnificent station or status. Rather, he said, it is the most honorable, the most noble of all stations with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised His prophets and His awliya. And in fact, He has yani attached those people, He have joined them to Himself in many ayats in the Quran, tashrifan lahum wa ta'aliyatan limaqamihim, yani as an honor to them and as a means of elevating their station. So here, yani the Shaykh, Allah protect and preserve him, you know, has made known that this station of Ubudiyyah, station that every Muslim should be striving to seek, yani to manifest in their life, is indeed a magnificent station. It's the most noble of all stations with which Allah has praised the best of people. And He has identified these people with Himself as a means of elevating, or as a means of honoring them and elevating their station. Second question, discuss the purpose of Allah mentioning the sifat of Ibad al-Rahman in many passages of the Quran and as well in the Sunnah. Here, yani the Shaykh, he yani summarizes one of the most important reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these characteristics of Ibad al-Rahman. And he says that is so that the Muslim, yani the person who is sincere in seeking to earn the pleasure of Allah, so that they will strive, لِيَجْتَهِدْ الْمُسْلِمْ فِي التِّصَافْ بِهَا, so that Muslim will strive to be described with these characteristics, وَالْعَمُلْ بِمُقْتَضَاهَا, and so that he will work, yani so he will strive to act upon what is required by these characteristics, لِيَنَالَ الْمَقَامَ الرَّفِيِّ وَالشَّرْفَ الْكَبِيرِ عِنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And this is so that by being described with these characteristics, by acting upon what they require, a person will achieve a lofty station and a great honor in front of Allah, the Rabbul Alameen. So again, the emphasis of the Shaykh here is on what? It is on the reasoning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning these things is so that people can act upon them, so that we can seek to be described with them and act upon what they require in order to earn the lofty station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 3, mention 3 things befitting of every Muslim to do as relates to the sifat of Ibad Rahman. 3 things that the Shaykh mentioned in the end of his introduction. He said it is befitting, it is incumbent, it is what is expected from the Muslim who is striving to save himself and to earn success, the honor and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and the next, is that they one yata'ammal. Naam, fadl.
Naam. And to understand them clearly, and then to seek to actualize them to best get.
Excellent. Mumtaz, this is it exactly. Yani, to reflect, to ponder, to contemplate on these characteristics, so that this will lead to them understanding and knowing them very well. And then, after knowing them, after that the person should strive, to actualize, to realize these characteristics in the most perfect manner possible. These 3 points in these first 3 questions were really intended to remind us of the very, very great importance of this particular topic. Yani, in terms of not just having knowledge of something, but rather acting upon it and the rewards, the fruits of acting upon that which we found in the Quran in general, and specifically the characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman, characteristics of the Mu'mineen and so on that Allah describes in various places in the Quran. After this, the fourth question, how does the author, Hafidhullah, summarize As-Sifatul Ula, the first characteristics of Ibad al-Rahman? He entitles the first characteristic with just a couple of words. He summarizes it as, Na'am.
Calmness.
Calmness.
Humility.
Humility.
Dignity.
Dignity. Na'am. He uses these words that summarize what is intended by the first ayat of the description of Ibad al-Rahman, that they walk upon the earth in a state of humility and dignity and calmly with tranquility. This is how they walk through the earth, this is how they interact and deal with people. That this, the manifestation of their humility in their appearance as well as in their interaction with the people is one of the fruits of Iman. And it's one of the effects of Iman, that a person who has Iman, this is the result of it. This is what it results in. It changes a person's behavior, their attitude, and the way that they deal, in their relationship with Allah and their relationship with the people. Question number 5, mention the ayah containing As-Sifatul Ula, the first characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman, the ayat. It says memorize. And the point here is that we, even the least of us, the youngest of us, the oldest of us, have to begin memorizing something from the Quran, even if it's one ayah at a time. We have to begin memorizing the Quran. Some of the older people are resistant to memorization, but nobody's excused. Anybody memorize this ayah? First ayah? No. Naam. And the meaning of this is, somebody help us with the meaning? Wa ibadur rahman, ladhina yamshuna ala al-ard, means?
The service of Allah, those who walk upon the earth in tranquility.
Tranquility.
And if they meet someone who's ignorance or falseness, their response to them is only, salam.
And when they meet people, the people of ignorance, if the people of ignorance address them, speak to them, then naturally the address is going to be the address of ignorance. So how do they respond to them? Bissalam. With speech that doesn't contain sin, that doesn't entail ignorance, foolishness. Naam. The surah and the ayat. The first ayat is ayat what? The surah is 25, Surah Al-Furqan, and the first ayah is, I don't have it in front of me, 63, Okay, we'll come back to it, inshallah. Here, let's see. The first ayat is 63. Naam, that's correct, 63. Jazakallah khair. Okay, after this, discuss the author's explanation of what is meant by when the ignorant address them, they say words of peace. And how has he explained these words of peace? Naam.
Speech that is free from sin and nonsense or foolishness.
Speech that is free from sin and nonsense or foolishness. Yani speech that doesn't contain anything sinful, nor does it contain yani words that indicate a person being silly, ignorant, or foolish. Naam. Yani that frees a person from falling into sin. Memorize the ayat 41:34, from which is derived the qa'ida, or the principle of repulsing evil with good. Yani the Shaykh mentioned in his explanation of the second part of this ayat that when the ignorant speak to them, they return, yani they respond to them with salam, yani with words that are free from sin, that are words that are free from ignorance and foolishness. And then he mentioned that even if yani people treat them or speak to them in a way that is harmful to them, that they don't respond in like, rather they repulse evil with good. Anybody memorize this ayat? Naam. No, the ayat that he mentioned after that, that's in Surah Fussilat, 41:34. Huh? No, that's in Surah Al-Furqan. And after that, from the first sifa, the Shaykh mentions the ayah in the first sifa. He says that, yani, this comes under the meaning of how they deal with the ignorant people. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيَّةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ أَدَعْوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Yani, that evil, good and evil are not equal. Repulse, yani evil with that which is ahsan, with good, with good speech and good action. And then, yani the result of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person, yani between you and him is some kind of enmity, he will make that person as a, yani beloved friend. And so this is not, yani this is something that is not easy except for those who are patient. And this is not yani going to be achieved except by those people who achieve a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, especially in the next life. إِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Yani evil speech, yani evil action, evil behavior, repulse it with goodness. And the last question, memorize the dua reported in Sahih Muslim, asking to be guided to good character and away from bad character. And we did send this supplication out in its fullness, yani the opening supplication that the Prophet ﷺ sometimes used to recite after the Takbiratul Ula or Takbiratul Ihram. It's a lengthy supplication, and we sent it out in its entirety. For those who like to memorize, then this is certainly a tremendous supplication from the Sunnah, which the Prophet ﷺ used to recite and is worthy of memorization. However, yani, after that we sent out the portion of the supplication that the Shaykh mentions here. Whoever has memorized that, yani, guide me to the best of character, and no one guides the best of character except me, and turn away from the evil character, and no one turns away from the evil character except you. Anybody memorize this? Huh? It's incumbent upon us then. It is incumbent upon us, yani, to memorize this. Yani, part of yani learning certainly is memorization, along with understanding and then implementation. Yani in this supplication, it's a lengthy supplication. This part of it, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wahdini, li ahsan al akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta, wasrif anni sayyiha, la yasrifu anni sayyiha illa anta." Two sentences. Yani it's very important. Yani supplication, because of what? Because the Shaykh, he mentions it here as a means of asking Allah's help to improve our character. As a means of, yani, getting Allah's help is not just striving to change your behavior, but asking Allah's help in doing so. So the Prophet ﷺ, in this part of a lengthy supplication that he used to open the prayer, he He's asking Allah, اهدني لأحسن الأخلاق. Yani, guide me to the best character. And then he's saying, and there's no one who guides to a good character except you. Yani, Allah is the only one who guides a good character. And then he said, and turn away from the evil character, and there's no one who can turn away from the evil character except you. I'm just going to mention here, briefly, a brief commentary concerning this part of the supplication. With some of the scholars in the explanation of Yani Mishkat al-Masabi, they said the meaning of wahdini li ahsan al-akhlaq, wahdini, it means dullani, direct me to the best character, wa waffiqni, and grant me tawfiq, success in being able to act upon it, that which you guide me to, wa thabbitni, and then make me firm upon that good character, wa awsilni, and Yani make me, enable me to reach it. So the meaning of this one word, wahdini, is not just to direct me to the right way, but to grant me the ability to act upon that which you guiding me to, and then make me firm upon it, and make me to reach the destination that it leads to. And then he said, أحسن الأخلاق لأحسن الأخلاق, he said, في عبادتك وغيرها من الأخلاق الظاهرة والباطنة. Yani, the best character in two things, in the worship of you, Yani, your character with Allah, and in other forms of character, Yani, with the people. Al-Zahira, outwardly and inwardly. So here, Yani, there's an indication that character is not just your manners or your interaction with people, but rather character, there's also character with Allah. Al-Khuluq ma'Allah and Al-Khuluq ma'Ibadillah. So it's very important for us to know that we have to have good character with Allah, and we have to have good character as well with the people, outwardly and inwardly. And part of good character with Allah, one of the obvious characteristics of al-khuluq ma'Allah is al-haya. Al-haya. Yani, being modest and shy and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching us. Then he said, وَلَا يَحْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ, and no one guides to the good character, the best of character except you. He said, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْحَادِي الْمُطْلَقِ, because you are the absolute guide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the shaykh, not the imam, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هو الحادي المطلق وَعَجْزُ الْخَلْقِ أَمْرٌ مُتَحَقَّقٌ, and the inability of the created beings is something that is realized, is a fact. There's no doubt about it. That Allah is the one who's able to do whatever He wills. وَصْرِفْ عَنِّي, Yani, سَيِّيَهَا, and turn away from me the evil of it. He said, أَبَعِدْنِي, distance me from evil character. وَمْنَعْنِي, and prohibit me, prevent me from evil character. وَحْفَظْنِي, and protect me from evil character. Yani, سَيِّي الْأَخْلَاقِ, yani, filthy evil character. وَلَا يَصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّيَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ, yani, and no one turns away from me, nor from anyone else, evil character, except you, O Allah, فَإِنَّ غَيْرَكَ غَيْرِ قَادِرٍ عَلَى الشَّيْءٍ, because indeed everyone and anyone and anything other than you is certainly incapable. Yani, Allah alone is the one who's capable of doing whatever He wills. After this, Yani, we end with the supplication that the Shaykh ended the first characteristic with. On page 10 of the Arabic text, he says, وَكَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ, we didn't read this supplication last week, كَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُرْشِدُ مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ, أَيَّقُولَ, that the Prophet ﷺ used to guide everyone when he leaves his house, that he should say, Allahumma a'udhu bika. In some of the narrations, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika and adilla awudalla. Ya, O Allah, I seek refuge in you, and adilla awudalla, that I go astray or that I be led astray by someone else. In the actual narration in Abu Dawud, in the footnotes it says this hadith is from Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, and Nasai, and Shaykh al-Bani, and Sahih al-Jami said it's Sahih. The actual narration in Abu Dawud has inni. Yani, the narration in Abu Dawud has Allahumma inni a'udhu bika and adilla a'udalla. Yani, I seek refuge in you from going astray on my own, or Yani, doing something that leads me astray myself, or from somebody else leading me astray. أَوْ أَزِلَّ أَوْ زَلَّ, or that I slip And you're not slipping, just walking down the street, slipping on something slippery, but slipping in the deen, making a mistake, an error, committing a sin. And azilla aw uzalla, or somebody else causes me to slip. Aw azlima aw uzlima, or that I be unjust to someone else, or that injustice is done to me. Aw ajhala aw yujhala alayya, or that I act ignorantly, or that someone else acts ignorantly towards me. This is also a very important supplication. In the narration of Abu Dawud, in the text of the hadith, it's narrated from Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She said, "Ma kharaja an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min bayti ana qat illa rafa'a tarfahu ila as-samaa faqala Allahumma inni a'udhu biha an adilla aw dhalla," to the end of the supplication. Yani Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma kharaja min bayti qat, he never left my house, ever, not one time did he ever leave my house, except that he raised his eyes to the sky and then he said this supplication. And Shaykh al-Albani has mentioned in some of the discussions of this particular hadith that the beginning of the hadith, the wording, yani that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to look up in the sky when he left his house, is not sahih. That part of the hadith is not sahih. But the supplication that the Shaykh mentions here is authentic. The supplication is authentic. Shaykh al-Albani says in Sahih al-Jami that it is sahih. So this is also a very important supplication. There's a lot of discussion concerning it. The Shaykh ends this sifa by saying, وَفِي هَذَا الدُّعَاءَ الْمُبَارَكُ تَحْصِينٌ لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنْهُ جَهَلٌ عَلَى الْآخَرِينَ وَأَنْ يَسْلَمَ هُوَ مِنْ جَهْلِ الْآخِرِينَ الْآخِرِينَ عَلَيْهِ. Yani that in this blessed supplication is a means of protection or fortification. تحسين, fortification for the abd from أَنْ يَكُونَ مِنْهُ جَهْلٌ, that ignorance is displayed from himself to others, or yani, and also that he be protected and fortified from, yani safe, made safe from the ignorance of others, yani acting yani ignorantly towards him. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said here, and I'm just going to add to this briefly what the Shaykh said in another place in his book Fiqh Al-Adiyya Wal-Adhqar. Concerning this final supplication, he says it's narrated by Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and other than them from al-Mu'mineen, Salama, radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that she said, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never left my house, except that he raised his eyes to the sky, and then he recited this supplication. Shaykh says, وَكَلَامُهَا رَضِيَ anha في أول هذا الحديث فيه دلالة ظاهرة على مواظبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على قول هذا الدعاء في كل مرة يخرج فيها صلوات الله وسلامه عليه من منزله. يعني this speech of سلمة رضي الله عنها, in her speech is a دلالة ظاهرة, a clear indication of the مواظبة, يعني the consistent practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of saying the words of this supplication kullu marra, every time he went from his house sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the beginning of the narration of this hadith mentions that he never left the house without saying these words, and this is an indication of muwadhaba, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to recite this supplication all the time. Then what about us? وفي هذا دلالة على أهمية مواظبة المسلم على هذا الدعاء في كل مرة يخرج فيها من منزله تأسيا بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in this, يعني practice of the Prophet constantly doing this is also an indication of the importance of regularly, consistently of a Muslim, يعني when they leave their house every single time reciting this supplication تأسيا بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, in following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, وفي ذلك خير وبركة والسلام والغنيمة, and in doing so there is a lot of good and blessings and so on. The Shaykh says, after discussing this hadith in detail in like 4 or 5 pages, then he ends the discussion of this hadith. We're not going to read the explanation of the hadith, so the Shaykh is just mentioning this hadith is mentioned for what? For the end of the hadith, seeking refuge in Allah from acting ignorantly or from somebody acting ignorantly against you. Because we're talking about what? إِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when you meet the ignorant person, how do you respond to them? So the Shaykh is mentioning this hadith as a means of, this supplication as a means of being protected from the ignorance of the ignorant people, and also being protected from ourselves acting ignorantly. The Shaykh says in the end of his explanation of this hadith, وَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ. This is a tremendous, magnificent supplication. يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَيْهَا كُلَّمَا خَرَجَ مِنْ مَنْزِلِهِ. And it is incumbent, it is befitting, it is expected of the Muslim to guard, to be consistent in the, yani supplicating with this supplication every time a person leaves the house. لِيَكُونَ مُلْتَجِئًا إِلَى اللَّهِ مُعَتَصِمًا بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ أَنْ يَنَالَهُ شَيْءٌ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأُمُورِ. And this is so that a person will be engaged in seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that any of these things will befall him. Any of these things that are mentioned in this supplication, that is, yani of what? Going astray or leading others astray, or slipping or being caused to slip, or any acting unjustly, or someone acting unjustly against you, acting ignorantly, or somebody acting ignorantly against you. Yani that this will be a means of seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and protection in Allah from any of these things befalling you. ثم عليه ما هذا الالتجاء أن يأخذ بالأسباب. Then, after this seeking refuge in Allah, asking Allah's help to protect you from these things, it is incumbent, along with that, أن يأخذ بالأسباب, that we utilize the means of being protected from these things. Not just supplicate to Allah, but along with supplicating Allah, that we do something, that we act upon the means that will enable us to be protected from falling into these things that we're seeking refuge in Allah from. فَيَحْذَرَ أَشَدَّ الْحَذَرُ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ وَالزَّلَلِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالْجَهَلِ. So that a person must take every precaution. يَحْذَرَ أَشَدُّ حَذَرُ. Take every precaution from الضلال, misguidance, and ذلال, slipping, and ظلم, injustice or wrongdoing, and جهل, ignorance. That not only we supplicate to Allah to protect us from these things, but then we utilize the legislated means in Islam to protect ourselves from them, yani according to the best of our ability. فَيَكُونُ بِذَلِكَ جَامِعًا بَيْنَ فِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَالْإِسْتِعَانَةِ عَلَيْهَا بِاللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. And in this way a person combines between, yani seeking refuge in Allah, the Blessed and the Most High, and as well doing, yani what is necessary in order to achieve the thing that we are asking Allah for. And this is a very important principle, that in everything that we supplicate to Allah for, we should know that the supplication to Allah is of the greatest benefit, but we must also do something. Yani we don't just ask Allah to grant me offspring, children, but we have to do something, right? We have to get married, right? So, yani if a person is in need of sustenance, you ask Allah to provide. He's the provider. But then you have to go out and do some work too. And this is the principle that the Shaykh is alluding to here, that when we supplicate to Allah, we don't leave it at that, but then we go out and do something. Al-akhth bil-asbab, utilizing the asbab, the means, the causes, the ways to achieving something, is part of Islam. It's part of Islam. And with that being said, we're going to go to the second sifa. Allahu musta'an. The Shaykh, he begins on page 11. As-sifa al-thaniya. As-sifa al-thaniya. The second characteristic or quality of the Ibad al-Rahman. And he summarizes it as muhafazatuhum ala salat. La siyama qiyamul layl. Muhafazatuhum, yani their being careful to guard, to protect, to preserve their salat. Doing everything that's necessary to preserve the salat. Muhafaza. Yani to protect and preserve, to guard the salat. Being careful, full of care about, yani the performance of the salat properly, in its proper time, in the place that's legislated for it, and so on. Muhafazatuhum ala salat. This is the second sifa of the Ibad al-Rahman. That is that they guard the prayer. La siyama qiyamul layl. Especially the qiyamul layl. Yani, especially qiyamul layl, because this is what? Yani, this is what Allah mentioned as a sifa from the Ibad al-Rahman. Yani, from amongst their sifat is, yani, the guarding, the protecting, the preserving, the consistency in qiyamul layl. But before that, and more important than that, is the guarding of the obligatory prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ And those, يعني the Ibadah Rahman, are those from amongst their characteristics, is that they spend their nights, يعني in prayer, to their Rabb. سُجَّدًا in prostration, وَقِيَامًا and standing. Standing and prostrating in prayers. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di in his tafsir of this ayah says, A, يُكْثِرُونَ مِن صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ This is not mentioned in the book, right? It's in the tafsir. يُكْثِرُونَ مِن صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ That they perform the night prayer a lot, كثير. يُكْثِرُونَ مِن صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ They don't just do it once in a while, once a year, only in Ramadan, once a month, once a week. يُكْثِرُونَ مِن صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ They do it a lot. مُخْلِصِينَ فِيهَا لِرَبِّهِمْ And they have ikhlas for their Rabb in this night prayer. They perform it with sincerity. مُتَذَلِّلِينَ لَهُ Humbling themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا These words, the Arabic يعني words that are used here, have the suggestion of what the Shaykh is saying here. يعني the sigha mubalagha. سُجَّدًا قِيَامًا يعني they, the Muslims, plural, they are engaging in this night prayer much. And they are doing it sincerely and humbly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, after this ayah, وَمِن صِفَاتِ عِبَادِ الرَّحْمَنِ الظَّاهِرَ يعني from the apparent outward characteristics of the عِبَادِ الرَّحْمَنِ is مُحَافَظَتُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَدَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ التي هي أعظم الأعمال البدنية فردا ونفلا لا سيما صلاة الليل فإنها سنة مؤكدة عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني from the صفات of عباد الرحمن is their guarding, protecting, preserving, giving care to the performance of the salah which is أعظم الأعمال البدنية which is the greatest of the physical يعني actions that a person does as opposed to يعني other acts of worship يعني spending money in the way of Allah and so on يعني الأعمال البدنية يعني those acts of worship that require the body to participate in it is he said أعظم الأعمال البدنية the greatest of the physical acts of worship they guard this prayer فرضا ونفلا They guard the obligatory of it as well as the voluntary. And here the Shaykh is what? He's reminding us that it's not just the five daily obligatory prayers, but rather the Ibadah Rahman, their guarding of the prayers means all the prayers, those which are obligatory as well as those which are voluntary. Meaning that the people of Sunnah, yani are entitled to this praiseworthy yani description of being Ahl Sunnah because they actually follow the Sunnah. Yani they don't just pray the five prayers, they pray the sunnah prayers too. Four rak'ah before dhuhr, two rak'ah after dhuhr, two rak'ah after maghrib, two rak'ah after isha, two rak'ah before fajr, and other sunnah prayers, like four rak'ah before dhuhr that the Prophet ﷺ mentions in authentic hadith, and so on. Yani they guard these prayers, the sunnah prayers. They are not obligatory. Why? Because they are Ahl Sunnah. Yani how do you consider, how do you yani call yourself Ahl Sunnah and you don't act upon the sunnah. Yani you regularly abandon the sunnah. Yani if we are not performing 12 sunnah rak'ah every single day, then we have been neglectful. We have been negligent to call ourselves Ahl Sunnah and to feel entitled, worthy of this title of honor and respect, and we are not acting upon it. Shaykh says, they guard the performance of their prayers. The prayer, which is the greatest physical act that we do, both the obligatory prayers as well as the voluntary prayers, especially the prayer of the night, Salatul Layl. فَإِنَّهَا سُنَّةٌ مُؤَكَّدَةٌ Because it is a confirmed sunnah, يعني a well-established sunnah, an emphasized sunnah, أَكَّدَ يعني the Prophet emphasized the performance of these sunnah prayers. يعني especially what? The ratiba, يعني the sunnah prayers that are connected to the obligatory prayers. These are confirmed sunnahs. These are not just sunnahs that should be performed sometime, rather they should be performed all the time. They are confirmed. Yani from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here he's saying that from the sunnah mu'akkadah prayers from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Salatul Layl. So some of us, perhaps we perform the obligatory prayers and we perform the sunnah prayers before and after the obligatory prayers. But, yani, salatul layl, that's another thing altogether. We might not give care for this. But the salatul layl is from the sunnah that are emphasized, yani, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَجَاءَ فِي فَضْلُ الْمُحَافِظَ عَلَيْهَا أَحَدِيثَ عَدِيدَةَ And there are many hadith showing the excellence and the superiority and the virtue of guarding this night prayer. There are many hadith. وَلِهَذَا جَاءَ التَّنْصِيصَ عَلَيْهَا فِي الْآيَةِ السَّابِقَةِ And for this reason, because of the many hadith from the Prophet ﷺ showing the virtue and the excellence and the superiority of this prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it specifically in this ayat, in the previous ayat. Allah mentions it specifically. Of all the emphasized sunnahs, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this one. يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا That the ibad of Rahman, yani spend their nights in prayer, in prostration and standing before their Rabb, yani, this is their habit, this is their regular practice. Naam. Yani? No, this ayat is the next ayat. Yani, the previous ayat was what? Was 64. The next ayat. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لَرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا Yani the next ayat, 64. So here the shaykh is saying what? That this is a sunnah mu'akkada. Yani we should take it as being important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it specifically in this ayat. أَنَّهَا مِن صِفَاتِ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ That this is from the characteristics, the qualities that are known, that the ibadur rahman are known for. They are known for this. So this is something that Yani, we should be known for. Not known amongst the people, but known in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows that we emphasize this. This is important to the ibadur rahman. وَمِمَّا وَرَدَ فِي فَضْلِ قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ This hadith reported by Imam Muslim and others. Yani, what has been narrated, from that which has been narrated concerning the excellence of standing in the night. Qiyam al-layl is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, afdalu as-salat, the best of the prayers, ba'd al-farida, after the obligatory prayers, is salat al-layl. And here, I want to note that this hadith in Sahih Muslim, the beginning of the hadith mentions fasting first. The shaykh just mentions this as the shahid that we're talking about, salat. But the beginning of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, afdalu as-siyam, the best fasting بعد Ramadan, after Ramadan, is شهر الله المحرم. Is the fasting during the month of Allah المحرم. And then he said, أفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل. And the best of prayers after the obligatory prayers is صلاة الليل. This is how the wording came in Sahih Muslim. Here I want to note that the word أفضل is from يعني اسم تفضيل أفعل التفضيل يعني this is a form, a pattern of now of adjectives in Arabic that either shows that something is better than something else or it's the best. And if it's better than something else, then we say أَفْعَلُ مِن It is better than. But without min means it's the best. So, yani, in this kind of way we understand that the meaning here is that the very best, the highest, the greatest of all the prayers after the obligatory prayers is Salatul Layl. And this is the point, yani, about which there's some difference of opinion amongst the scholars. Some scholars say it is as the Prophet ﷺ said clearly, the zahir, meaning of this hadith, is as the best of prayers. And other scholars said, yani, that the rawatib, sunnah prayers that are connected to the obligatory prayers are the best because they're connected to the obligatory prayers and because they're emphasized and so on. Yani, they have their yani, discussion concerning this. But in any case, yani, one of the opinion of the scholars is the clear indication, the zahir meaning of this hadith, that the best of prayers, absolutely, al itlaq, after the obligatory prayers, is Salatul Layl. By the way, from amongst the contemporary scholars who hold the opinion that, yani, that the night prayer is the best of, yani, the nawafil al mutlaqa, yani, absolute voluntary prayers, is the best of them, is the night prayer. But that the rawatib sunnah, that are performed with the obligatory prayers, and if the 12 rak'ah that we pray in the day and the night with the 5 obligatory prayers are better than the night prayer, from amongst the scholars who hold this opinion, contemporary scholars is Shaykh Muhammad, Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And in any case, it is a matter of difference of opinion. What we're concerned about here is that this certainly shows the virtue, whatever opinion that a person has. The Prophet ﷺ is saying is that the best of prayers after the obligatory prayers is Salatul Layl. And even if we exclude from that yani the rawatib prayers that are performed daily with the 5 obligatory prayers, or we take it as it appears to mean on its surface, nonetheless it shows the excellence of the night prayer. In some of the narrations of this hadith it says Salatul Layl, and some of the narrations of hadith it says Qiyamul Layl, and some of the narrations of hadith says As-Salat fi Jawful Layl, and in the prayer in the middle of the night. So these are wordings that came in various narrations of this hadith, and it is sahih. The second hadith that the Shaykh mentions, showing the excellence or the virtue of Salatul Layl, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum bi qiyam al-layl. Alaykum bi qiyam al-layl. Yani it is incumbent upon you to perform this standing in the night, the prayer of standing in the night, qiyam al-layl. فَإِنَّهُ دَعْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ. For indeed, it is دَعْبُ الصَّالِحِينَ. Yani, دَعْبَ means to persist in something, to do it untiring, yani tirelessly. Yani, to not become tired from doing something, to apply yourself, to devote yourself. Yani, to be yani consistent in doing something, to practice it yani eagerly, diligently. This is the meaning of the verb da'aba. Yani to apply yourself to something, to devote yourself to something, to do it diligently, eagerly. So the meaning here of da'abu salihin, it means that it was the practice, the way of the righteous, qablakum, the people before you, that they used to apply themselves to this prayer. They used to devote themselves to this prayer. It wasn't something that they did now and then, that they were careless about, that they didn't yani give that much attention or importance to it. It was something that they were devoted to. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alaykum bi qiyam al-layl. It is incumbent upon you to perform this standing in the night. Fa innahu da'bu salihin. It was the way of the righteous qablakum, people before you. They used to be consistent and dedicated and devoted to this, performing the prayer in the night. وَهُوَ قُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. And it is also, yani this prayer, it is a means of nearness to your Rabb. قُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. And these are the reasons why we should be diligent in this prayer. Why? Because the way of the people before us, the righteous people before us. Yani for us, the Salaf al-Sali, we can say that the companions and the Tabi'een and the Atba' Tabi'een, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, the yani salihin qablakum, meaning even before the Muslims, yani the Prophets and the messengers before, they used to pray in the night. وَهُوَ قُرْبَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. It is a means of nearness to your Rabb. You want to get near to Allah? Get up in the night. مَكْفَرَةٌ لِلسَّيِّئَاتِ. Yani a means of expiation of sins. You want to expiate your sins? Get up in the night. وَمَنْحَاتٌ لِلْإِثْمِ. And it is a means of preventing one from committing sin. How much are we in need of such nearness to our Rabb, expiation of our sins, and that which will prevent us from committing sin in the first place? The means to that is what? One of the great means to that is Qiyam al-Layl, standing in the night. After this, the Shaykh says, وَأَمَّا وَقْتْ قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. And as far as the timing, when is this Qiyam al-Layl performed? فَإِنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ كُلِّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ stood in the night, كُلِّهِ. Yani, كُلِّهِ might mean اللَّيْل كُلِّهِ, mean the whole night, right? And there are occasions in which the Prophet ﷺ stood most of the night, right? Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in surah, about the Prophet's prayer in the night, Muzammil, that he used to pray for half of the night, or a third of the night, or two-thirds of the night. Yani most of the night he used to pray. And the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this about him in the beginning of the surah and in the end of the surah. That this is how the Prophet ﷺ used to what he used to do in the night. He used to stand in the night half of the night, or at least a third of the night, or two-thirds of the night, yani most of the night. And it's reported that one night he came out in Ramadan, or yani he came out in his place of prayer to pray, and some of the people saw him praying and they followed him in the prayer, and he prayed for half of the night, and on another occasion a third of the night, and another occasion almost till the Fajr time, until the people said, we thought we were going to miss the suhoor. The Prophet prayed so long. And this is a wonderful hadith for us to be reminded of, the importance of the night prayer, and how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, and how the people, yani it was said that one night he prayed with the people and they said, why don't we just finish the night? Yani don't stop, like keep praying until Fajr. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays with the Imam until he completes the prayer, we get the reward of praying the whole night. And this is an encouragement to us to pray with the Imam in Jama'ah in Ramadan in the night prayer. Whoever prays with the Imam until he finishes from the prayer, they will get the reward of praying the whole night. But how? What was the attitude of the Sahaba? They told the Prophet, don't stop now, keep praying until the end of the night. Keep praying until the end of the night. But as far as today, if the Imam prays too long, the people will complain. Maybe they will boycott the masjid, they will go someplace else to pray. أما وقت القيام. The Shaykh says, فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ كُلِّهِ. Doesn't mean he prayed the whole night, sometimes he did, but the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha clarifies this. That hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. She said, مِنْ كُلِّ اللَّيْلِ, from the whole of the night, قَدْ أَوْتَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Could be. It could be. It could be, because look how she clarifies the meaning. Min kulli layli, from the whole of the night, قَدْ أَوْتَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He used to make the witr. Does it mean the whole night he prayed witr? No, it means min awwal al-layl وَأَوْسَطِهِ وَآخِرِهِ. Meaning sometimes he used to pray it from the beginning of the night, sometimes he used to pray it in the middle of the night, and sometimes he used to pray it in the end of the night. Yani the witr prayer. Witr prayer is what? The odd rak'ah that's at the end of the night prayer. Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ prayed it in the beginning of the night. Yani min awwal al-layl. Wa min awsatihi. And sometimes from the middle of the night. Wa akhirihi. And sometimes from the end of the night. Fantaha witruhu ila sahr. And he used to end his witr prayer, yani at the time of sahr, right? The time, yani just before the break of dawn. This hadith clarifies that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray the night prayer at any time during the night. At any time from Isha until Fajr. Sometimes he began in the middle of the night, sometimes he began in the beginning of the night, sometimes he began near the end of the night, in the last third of the night. And in some, yani, and then the Shaykh says here, yani, after alluding to this hadith, he said that the Prophet ﷺ used to stand in the night the whole of it, yani in every part of it, sometimes in the beginning, sometimes in the middle, sometimes in the end. فَكَانَ يُصَلِّ فِي أَوَّلِ اللَّيْلِ. Sometimes he used to pray in the beginning of the night. وَفِي أَوْسَطِ اللَّيْلِ. And sometimes in the middle of the night. وَفِي آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ. And sometimes the end of the night. Alluding to the hadith of Aisha. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَرَّ قِيَامُهُ فِي آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ عِنْدَ السَّهْرِ. And then, what his final practice that he remained upon was, that he used to perform the قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ in the last part of the night. Yani in the last third of the night at the time of Sahr. Yani in the last third of the night. Yani the last part of the night, that was what he used to emphasize, the performance of the night prayer in the last third of the night. Now,
in the kitab of Shaykh al-Fawzan, Mulaqat al-Faqiyya,
no.
He mentions that the last part of the night starts at Isha.
Okay.
It starts at Isha, he mentions.
The last part of the night?
It starts at Isha, mostly. So it's from Isha to 12 midnight.
Okay.
So what was the sahh?
Yani, does he mean that he's talking about the last time for the Isha prayer.
Isha?
Isha prayer. Naam. Because there are hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ prayed the Isha prayer up to one third of the night or up to one half of the night. So some of the scholars, there's difference of opinion about this, say that the end of the time of the Isha prayer is one third of the night or one half of the night. But other scholars say the end of each prayer is the beginning of the next prayer. Yani, in any case, it's a matter of fiqh, right? Yani, Allahu A'lam, but it appears as though, yani the best opinion, Wallahu A'lam, is that, yani the half of the night is the end of the preferable time for performing the Isha prayer, and up until Fajr, yani is the permissible time. That's the moderate opinion of the scholars, yani between the two extremes. Those who said that the time for Isha is up until Fajr, and those who said it's only up until half of the night. Some scholars said, yani up until half of the night is the preferable time to perform Isha. You shouldn't delay beyond that, except for some need or necessity. But it's permissible to pray it up until Fajr, wallahu alam. The last practice of the Prophet that he remained upon was performing the Qiyam al-Layl in the end of the night. Yani at the time before dawn, in the last third of the night. الَّذِي هُوَ أَفْضَلُ وَقْتِ لِصَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ, which is the best time for the Salat al-Layl. Yani Salat al-Layl, Qiyam al-Layl is the best prayer after the obligatory prayers, and the best time to perform it, the Salat al-Layl, is in the last third of the night. فَإِنَّهُ وَقْت نُزُول رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, because this is the time of the descending of the Lord of the worlds to the heaven of this world, above this world. Sama' al-dunya, yani the lowest heaven that is above this world, the dunya. This is the time of the descending of the Rabb al-Alameen. كَمَا ثَبَتَ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ, as it has been confirmed from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إلى السماء الدنيا حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر, يعني that our Rabb descends تبارك وتعالى every single night إلى السماء الدنيا, to the heaven that is above this earth, حين يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر, at the time when the last third of the night remains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the السماء الدنيا in the last third of the night. Wallah, yani the stronger opinion of the scholars, as Shaykh Uthaymeen has explained it, is that the last third of the night is determined by counting the time between the Maghrib and the Fajr. Yani how many hours is there between Maghrib and Fajr? Divided by three, and then yani the last third of that is considered to be the last third of the night. This is the time that Allah descends to the Sama' al-Dunya. يَقُولُ مَنْ يَدَعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who will supplicate to me, who will call upon me so that I will answer him. مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيَهُ, who will ask me for something so that I will give it to him. مَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُنِي فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ, who will seek forgiveness from me so that I will forgive him. Yani this hadith is indeed a tremendous hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi in his Jami', and Shaykh Al-Albani in Irwa Ghalil said that it is sahih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in the last third of the night, every single night, at the time when the last third of the night remains, and he says, who will supplicate to me? Then I will definitely answer him. Who will ask me for something so that I will give it to him? Who will ask for forgiveness from me so that I will forgive him? So where are we from this? Yani this is the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that Allah Himself descends in a way that is befitting of His Majesty and His greatness and His glory. How He descends is known to Allah. The reality that He does descend is a fact. Yani spoken by As-Sadiq al-Masduq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is truthful and who is believed in what he says, that it is the truth. This is the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, call on me, I will answer you. Ask me for what you are in need of, I will give it to you. Seek forgiveness of me, I will forgive you. Which one of us is not in need? And therefore the Shaykh, he says, فَيَنْبَغِي, يعني يَنْبَغِي, it is incumbent, it is befitting. And perhaps we can say it is obligatory. لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ نَاصِيًا لِنَفْسِهِ, for every abd that is sincere to his own self, who is concerned about his own self, أن يحرص على أن يكون له حظ من صلاة الليل. So it is incumbent, it is befitting, it is يعني what is considered يعني right and correct and proper for every person who is sincere to himself, that he be diligent in getting a portion of this صلاة الليل. And it is incumbent upon us to strive and struggle to make this as an objective of great importance, that we have some portion, حَظٌ مِنْ صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ, some portion of this night prayer, however little it might be. ولو بركعات قليلة, even if it's just a few rak'ah, even if a person prays 3 rak'ah or 5 rak'ah or whatever they are able to do, even if they pray short prayers and they don't recite long, even if they don't bow long and prostrate long, some portion of this night prayer is incumbent, it is incumbent becoming of the Muslim, yani to achieve some portion of this, لِيَنَالَ هَذَا الْفَضْلَ الْكَبِيرِ, so that a person will get, so that they will achieve this great, yani, virtue. This great virtue. What virtue? The virtue of, yani, standing and bowing and prostrating before the Rabbil Alameen at a time when he descends to the Sama' al-Dunya to ask, yani, to look, to search, to wait for who will supplicate to him, who will ask of him, who will seek forgiveness from him. This is indeed, yani, a fadl azim. And every one of us are in need, yani, to get up in the night, go to sleep early, take a nap in the afternoon, qaylula, eat less, don't, yani, eat a big meal and go to sleep on it, make wudu, supplicate before you sleep, yani, utilize the means, yani, alarm clock, your wife, your husband, your child, whoever, somebody, yani, make an effort to get up in the night. May Allah, yani, grant us, yani, tawfiq in doing that. Allah, we are in need of this. Naam. فهذا هو شأن عباد الرحمن مع صلاة الليل تعبدا ومناجة وخضوعا وخشوعا لله سبحانه وتعالى في سجودهم وركوعهم وقيامهم. Yani, this is the affair of the Ibad al-Rahman, or the relationship of Ibad al-Rahman, yani, with the Salat al-Layl. This is how we should be with the Salat al-Layl. Yani, it should be of that great importance to us, knowing the magnitude of this affair, yani, and the virtue and the excellence, and our need for such. This should be, yani, our relationship with the Salat al-Layl, in terms of the way that we worship, in terms of, yani, calling upon Allah, getting up in the night and calling upon Him, khudu'an, yani, humble, submissive obedience to Him, khushu'an, being in a state of awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how, yani, we should be performing the Salat al-Layl. We should realize this is a great act of worship. Yani, this is a means of calling on our Lord, yani, and that He has promised that He will answer. It is a form of submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get up in the night and pray to Him and call upon Him and ask for our needs. And it is an expression, a manifestation of, yani, awe, that a person has awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it being displayed, yani, in our performance of this prayer, whether we are in prostration, whether we are in bowing, or whether we are standing. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ هَذِهِ حَالُهُمْ فِي صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ في صلاة الليل التي لم يفترضها الله عز وجل عليهم. يعني, if this is the hal, يعني, the condition, the state of the Ibad al-Rahman, the mu'mineen, the awliya of Allah, if this is their state with صلاة الليل, which Allah didn't make obligatory upon them, فكيف شأنهم مع الصلوات الخمس المكتوبة, يعني المفروضة, then what then is their state? What is their condition? Yani, what is their relationship with the 5 obligatory prayers? Yani, as-salawat al-khamsa al-maktuba, that Allah has prescribed, that Allah has, yani, made obligatory upon us. Allati hiya a'zamu arkan al-deen by the shahadatain. Then what is our condition? What is our state of affairs? Our relationship with, yani, the 5 obligatory prayers, which are أَعْظَمُ أَرْكَانِ الدِّينِ, which are the greatest of all the pillars of this deen after the shahadatain. لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَيْهَا أَشَدُّ حِرْسًا وَمُحَافَظَةً. There is no doubt that the Ibad al-Rahman, yani, the true mu'minun, that their affair with the obligatory prayers is that they are what? أَشَدُّ حِرْسًا. They are even more concerned, more diligent, more eager in performing the 5 obligatory prayers, more careful, her in performing the five obligatory prayers. And more, yani muhafazatan, yani they are the observation or their observance, I should say, observance and the care that they exhibit in protecting and guarding and preserving the five obligatory prayers is even greater than their care and observance and guarding and protecting of the night prayer. This second sifa of the Ibadah Ar-Rahman is what their care, their guarding and protecting and preserving the prayers in general, but more specifically in this ayat Allah mentions Qiyam al-Layl because of its great importance. Yani because it being the way of the people, the righteous people before us, and it being a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a means of expiation of our sins, and a protection, a means of preventing us from falling into sin. So there's no doubt that this prayer is an important prayer, that if we haven't been consistent in performing it, if we have not been regular in performing it, is certainly something within our ability, and we should give care to it in the same way, yani, that we give care to the performance of the five daily prayers, except that the five daily prayers are even greater, because these are what? The greatest of the pillars of the deen after the shahadatain. Yani the pillars of Islam, the greatest of them after the shahadatain is this salat and the performance of this prayer, the five daily prayers, as well as the sunnah prayers, as well as the nawafil, voluntary prayers. All of it, yani, is something that we should give care to and give our attention to. Ask Allah's help, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in guarding them and protecting and preserving them in the manner in which it would be pleasing to Him. Meaning that we perform the prayers in their outward form and format correctly according to the sunnah. And then we also perform these prayers, yani inwardly, correctly, in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with them. That is, that yani we have ikhlas, yani in our heart, that is being performed sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a state of submission and consciousness and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The performance of these prayers, yani what is required inwardly and outwardly. And as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah once said, may Allah yani have mercy upon rahmatan wasiya, he said that most of the people, when you ask them about salat, they are concerned about the kayfiyya, yani the manner in which you perform the outward acts of the prayer. Most of the people, yani, they're concerned about how to perform the prayer. But not many people are concerned about why we perform the prayer. And he said that this is of the utmost importance, that we not only know how to perform the prayer, but we also must know why we are performing the prayer. We're performing it, yani, because this is, yani, something that Allah has made obligatory upon us, and He has also made it a means of benefit to us, in that it's a means of nearness to Him, and a means of expiation of sins, a means of elevation of our station, a means of, yani, multiplication of our deeds, and so on, as came in various, yani, different textual evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah. May Allah grant us success, yani, in performing these prayers in a way that's pleasing to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us and accept that which we offer to Him as being done correctly and sincerely for His sake alone. May He, yani, forgive us our shortcomings, and may He, yani, elevate our station in this world, and more importantly in the next life. Indeed, success is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is what we can mention for tonight. If there are any questions, inshallah, we'll just take a minute. Or any corrections or any comments. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك